It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
There's that button. Welcome everybody to Money for Lunch. It is always good to have you here. I'm excited for today's show. You know, just real quick, as we are heading towards the friggin' end of the year, it's amazing. We just have a few months left. And really, you know, December is kind of like a half a month. And November is not quite, it's a little bit more than half a month. So, you know, what do we have, like 3 months out of the year to get you up and running, to get you to make the most money possible, to end on a strong, what do you call it, strong note there, right? All right, so today's quote of the day: the strength of the team is each individual member. The strength of each member is the team. That is by Phil Jackson, the great NBA coach, Phil Jackson. All right, let's get this party started. Today on the show, Mike Reynolds. Mike Reynolds is a career visionary and executive in the world of mergers and acquisitions, with a long history of building and growing successful organizations. In his 30 years of success, Mike has transformed companies and industries with his innovative management techniques and his ability to spot and create growth opportunities. Mike Reynolds, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thank you very much, Bert. I'm very, very happy that you invited me on the show. Thank you.
You bet. All right, so talk about this real quick. Give us kind of a little bit of your background, because you and I connected on LinkedIn, and so kind of tell us kind of the Reader's Digest version, if you will, from your M&A days to what you're doing today.
Sure. I had a very successful run a number of different times, but going back to the strength that I had in the M&A business, investment banking, broker-dealer, securities clearing era of the 80s and the 90s, and I think that's far enough back there to start the discussion, Bert. I was a leader in that industry as an independent equities trader. I built a very successful broker-dealer operations based off the fact that I knew how transactions happen from A to Z. I experienced the downturn of the market, the extreme downturn, which is now called Black Monday, in 1987. And when I experienced that, my analysis, looking for what the problem really was or could have been, my analysis went directly to: there's too many people between the customer and the transaction. And realizing that, I started to develop a way internally with my operations that I was going to be able to shorten that opportunity up for the client that actually owned the account, that actually owned stock, that actually had an investment in the equities market. We were in a full on paper environment. The latest technology that we all applauded was obviously the fax machine. and we were so happy to have that, particularly in the transaction clearing business. It was a phenomenon. Well, I took that as an opportunity for me and my people to develop, and my team to develop what was then a black box DOS-based operating system, which I had the intuitive sense to understand that the market, in spite of, obviously, I had no clue that we were going to have this internet. I didn't have any clue. When I had an article written about me in Traders Magazine as late as 1993, I referred to the technology transition that was going to have to happen in the equity stock business as Nintendo-like, if you can imagine. So kind of a step back in time, but what I found was that the success that I was achieving came from just having the ability to build a dynamic team, having the ability to know where to know what I did not know. I won't individually take credit for any accomplishment that I've achieved in my life, but I will tell you who was on my team and how I achieved it. And yes, I was the one with the forethought, but the application of the forethought, which is typically, and typically I have been a CEO, a big picture person. The application of that big picture requires that you have the right team members to be successful.
Sure.
I was able to do that all the way up to having the personal credibility to back what I consider to be the first customer-generated transactions in the marketplace by a company then known as CompuServe. And my firm and myself personally, because everybody believed it was a very uncomfortable place, a very uncomfortable thought in the market at that time that a customer would ever have control over his own account. That was almost, I don't know how to say it. People almost felt like it was illegal, and it was going to be illegal. And this is really stepping back in time when you look at what we have today. But
right.
What we have today was accomplished because in part or parcel of my team being able to put together the systems which allowed the customer with his 400-pound computer in those days to be able to push a button and execute a transaction in his own equities account.
Yeah, that's crazy, huh? That is wild.
It's wild. But those areas, and I always speak about those areas, Bert, as being very uncomfortable places in the financial markets. What I've been able to do in a number of cases, not only in the equities, financial markets, in the trash, rubbish collection business, in a number of different efforts throughout my career, I've been able to find the places where it was uncomfortable. People felt like it was too early to be doing and talking about those kinds of things. And then I've been able to pull together what I call the intellectual pools that worked with me that were necessary to implement those things into the marketplace, whatever market that happened to be.
Gotcha. All right, well, let's talk about this because one of the things that kind of grabbed my attention is that nowadays, at least when you and I were talking on LinkedIn, you help businesses get sold, right? You're right now, one of the services that you provide is you help people who are looking to sell their business find a buyer, correct?
Absolutely. To talk about that, Bert, is really something that I do aggressively every single day. Having worked at some very large M&A things in the past and some public companies, obviously, the grassroots of business starts right where I'm working now, which is meeting with people that have created a family business, a successful partnership business over a number of years, and have got to the point where they recognize that we're in a really, really good market right now as far as being able to sell their business, as far as being able to get as much money as they possibly could for their business in the market right now today. And more importantly, because of the transition in the belief system that I believe is the opportunity that people are now feeling once again from the entrepreneurial spirit in America, they're now there are now buyers, real buyers, that want to buy these businesses and want to take them to the next level. And I'm really working every day with my team to accomplish that.
Gotcha. All right. So based on your experience, what you have seen, not only with your MMA background, but here you know, helping companies get sold and doing all those transactions, what do you see that helps a company deal with change? I think that a lot of people, you mentioned the word uncomfortable several times, and I think a lot of people tend to try to get away from being uncomfortable. They don't like that awkward. They don't like change. Talk about that a little bit.
Sure. That's very easy for me to speak to, because that has been one of the things that I have learned early on in my career to resist, because the majority of the people that I have come in contact with over the years that are, and they can be from the range of not doing very well to doing extremely well, they resist, just absolutely. You have to almost pull them into a position where they want to change, or they will change. Because, you know, if you're looking at what I'm doing on the business, on selling businesses for people, I'm talking to people that have owned their business sometimes 25 or 30 years.
Sure.
And the change that I'm talking to them about is, let's sell your business. Let's get your retirement. Let's get you in a position of retirement. Let's get you some cash now and determine what you want to do from here. But the opportunity that I have always counseled people as it refers to change is that without change, there is not opportunity. And if you resist change to the point that you have ridden the market up two or three times and you have found that it goes right back down, the only thing that could be you could have found out when you did not change in the up market was that you didn't have another thing that I always tell people they must be in control of, is their greed and their greed motivation. And greed motivation will overshadow your ability to change when change is really what you should be doing.
Interesting. I love that. Yeah. You know, it's funny. Greed is such a killer, right? I mean, I'm sure that we've all seen a situation either personally, or you've seen somebody kind of screw up a situation where they could have gotten a good amount of money, a decent amount of money, but because of their greed, because of the fact that they really thought that their product or their service or whatever was worth, you know, some outrageous amount of money, and, you know, they get no business. And I find this very commonplace when you're dealing with a first-time inventor who has no business background, and he just thinks that, hey, I've created the next thing since sliced bread, and it's worth $1 billion, even though all I have is a sketch on a napkin. I have no prototype. I got no business background. I don't know anything about business, but, you know, I'm not willing to ascertain a price less than this outrageous thing that I have in my head because of some, you know, some whatever formula they come up with. And I like this idea of greed formula. That's exactly what it is.
Well, Bert, you hit the nail right on the head. That was a perfect example. I, as obviously you have experience, I've had experience sitting in the investment banking chair, talking to those individuals and trying to explain to them that the idea is a fabulous idea, but the transition from idea to actually a commercial product requires that you really know and understand some really difficult to acquire the numbers that will actually make that happen, that will actually make you successful. But in order to be successful, and if you can't hear anything else that I'm saying, you must have good people around you. You must you must rely on those people and the advice that they give you in order to achieve what happens, like you said, from a napkin to a commercial product. Those, you cannot be omnipotent in that event.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. All right, so let's talk about this. Let's say that somebody's listening right now. They have a business that, you know, they want to exit out of for whatever reason. What is the first thing that they need to start getting ready before they contact somebody like yourself at WCI Brokers or some other business broker? What should they start doing?
The most critical thing that business people sometimes overlook is their accounting and their internal financial credible operations. Many businesses have come up from just a concept, an idea, maybe just transitioning from being working in a particular field to obviously finding that you could hire other people, that you could get bigger and better in that same field. The real critical element as far as getting the maximum amount of money that you could possibly hope to get in this market out of your business is having really good accounting, have really good records, at least going back 3 years. It can go back year to date for 2018 and 2017 and 2016. That would accomplish the same thing. But being able to go back 3 years with good tax accounting and reporting and good internal P&L and balance sheet, that's the most critical element to getting the maximum amount of money out of your business that you possibly can.
Yeah. And okay, so let's say I got, you know, my accounting squared away. I come to you and say, hey, Mike, here's my business. You know, my accountant is, you know, my accountant says it's worth, you know, let's just say $5 million and you agree with it. You say, hey, yeah, I think that it is worth $5 million. And so, you know, sometimes a business is worth $5 million, but that doesn't mean that you're going to get for that business. Am I thinking correctly or am I wrong?
I would say you could be either. Or depending on we differ a little bit in the way we evaluate a company to achieve what the listing price would be than possibly your accountant does, but not very much. So that number, whichever your accountant tells you, will be a pretty realistic number. The number that we use for the valuation of your business, which, by the way, we do all of that for free, will be relatively the same. And as a business broker, I will always be able to explain if there is a difference, any difference. Okay. And
gotcha.
Right now, and traditionally, the reason why you go to a business broker is whatever that number is, that's the number that we get from the buyers. Now,
gotcha.
I can tell you what the ratio is. I want you to hear this. The ratio in our firm is we require a person to file an NDA with us, which protects the information of our listed seller, obviously, when we send it to a buyer. We have 15,000 buyers registered with WCI, and right now we have about 160 listed sellers. So this is a pretty hot market.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And is it pretty hot across all categories, or are you seeing that maybe one area is hotter than another area right now?
I see it hot across all categories.
Now's a great time to sell.
All categories at WCI. That's
That's
why I can say that. There's business brokers that specialize and have found it very effective to specialize in only selling restaurants, only selling service stations, only selling certain categories. Chuck Tanko was the designated broker and started WCI 50 years ago. And he started it based off of being a non-exclusive brokerage operation, and it remains a non-exclusive brokerage operation. So we do have experience in almost every segment of the market right now, and we see every segment hot.
I love it. All right. So there's always somebody who's probably listening right now saying, well, Mike, you sound great. I have my business placed with another broker and nothing seems to be happening. So if somebody is unhappy with their current broker, can they give you a call and maybe talk to you and see about maybe switching from one broker to the other? Is that something that's pretty possible to do in your industry?
It's very possible if you have your listing at WCI. I can't speak for other brokerage operations, but I can tell you that our internal policy is we only keep a listing as long as the client wants us to continue to advertise and list the company. Even though in every instance it will be a one-year contract, which is typical because we are governed by real estate regulation, okay? Mm-hmm. The listing is typically 1 year. We have listings that, we have worked for 3 months to get all the accounting done, get everything properly agreed upon with the seller, the price, the terms, how much he would be willing to carry back, how much, if he wants all cash, all of that. We do all that work. And then something changes. Typically, a business only becomes for sale when something changes in the owner's life. Either he's achieved a certain age, which he decided to retire. If there's a health issue, if there's a family issue, if there's a geographic need for them to leave the state of Arizona and move back to where their family, back to Ohio or wherever. That's what drives typically a listing for sale. At WCI, if you list a WCI with us and you decide tomorrow that whatever change that caused you to want to sell your business has reversed and you want to keep your business, you simply just send us an email that said, please remove my listing, and there's no harm, no foul with us. With other brokers, to answer your question specifically, I will be glad to take the call. I'll be glad to spend the time with whomever comes from your audience that might have a listing with another broker now. And if it's not seamless, there is some possibility that I might give them some counsel on how to get their business sold, even with the other broker.
Perfect. And for you guys listening, if you want to reach out to Mike Reynolds, you can reach out to Mike Reynolds at WCIbroker.com. WCIbroker.com. And Mike Reynolds, and his email, for those who want to, just reach out to him that way, is Mike@WCIbroker.com. Mike Reynolds at Mike@WCIbroker.com. All right. So, Mike, here I am. I got my accounting squared away. I got my evaluation that that looks pretty realistic. And what else is going to help me sell my business quicker, better? I come to WCIbroker.com, and what else should I have? What other duck do I need to have lined up?
Really, the only thing that you will have to do or really is critical for you to do after that, Bert, is be available. Some of the businesses that we list actually have absentee owners that even as much as live in another state. We're able to still successfully sell those businesses, but the best way to sell a business, obviously, in my world, the way I work, is that sooner than later is to get the potential buyer and the seller together in an eye contact type of an environment, typically in our conference room or at the seller's location, and start the process to see if there's a good chemical energy between the buyer and the seller. That's and obviously the seller has to be available in order to do that.
Sure, sure. You know, and I'm glad you brought up the whole eye contact thing. You know, today in the world of email and phone and stuff like that, in these transactions, really sooner or later, there is that FaceTime that's required. And you know, this is not like, I know that nowadays a lot of people are very comfortable buying their clothing without eye contact, even their cars without eye contact. And I think that a lot of these products are almost like commodities. I mean, you know, if you're buying a brand new white BMW model XYZ, well, you know, you can swap out a white, Beamer for another white Beamer and nobody cares. But with a business,
right,
it's got all these moving parts. And that is one thing that's is going to be very difficult to buy without, you know, that eye contact or walking through the business, the, as you said, seeing the chemical reaction between the buyer and the seller.
Absolutely. It's critical in our world, Bert, and in my world. I mean, I can't speak for every broker. I can't speak for everyone that does some of the things that I do, but I can tell you, and you're aware we met on LinkedIn, and you're aware that I'm doing a relationship building program on LinkedIn for Mike Reynolds.
Sure.
And at the core of that program, what I say to people, I'm really working for you just to know who Mike Reynolds is and even to understand that as soon as possible, I would like to buy you a cup of coffee, have a short eye contact meeting with you, so that we know each other, so that in the future, you're not recommending me based off of what you read about me on LinkedIn or you read about me anywhere else in trying to understand who Mike Reynolds is, that actually we can sit down and have a cup of coffee. And I, right now, based off of my LinkedIn relationship building, I'm doing 4 or 5 eye contact meetings a week now.
And that's fantastic. And you know what? And here's something I want to throw out there, because I think this separates a lot of people. There are so many people that nowadays have become so accustomed not to just using or leveraging the phone or email, which I think is perfectly fine, but literally hiding behind the email and the telephone, that when somebody right? And when somebody says, hey, let's get together for coffee, right there separates you from the pack. Here's a guy who wants to meet with me. And I know that that may not be the ideal situation for everybody, but I think it's ideal when it is available, because so many people don't want to do it.
It's amazing. And I'm learning, obviously. I mean, I've only been looking at expanding my relationship base through a media like LinkedIn for the last 6 months, because I have always built relationships through social interaction, through eye contact, through personal recommendations from other businessmen, and I'm doing it particularly in Phoenix. I'm a California-based entrepreneur. I've only been in Phoenix for 3 years. So I found that in order for me to build the type and the size of business that I want to have, I have to go back to what I've always done. And that's why I'm offering to people that I'm putting in my contacts in LinkedIn, I'm offering to let me buy you a cup of coffee. Let me buy you lunch. Get to know who Mike is, because the day that, you know, you're uncle or brother or grandfather or whatever wants to sell their business, I want you to know who Mike Reynolds is, and I want you to be able to say, I've met with this guy, and why don't you give him a call?
Yeah. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is called planting the seeds because, and you correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, you might meet with, 100 people, and maybe out of that 100, three or four are ready to sell their business today, but the remaining 95 or 96 or whatever it is, 97, might be selling their business between today and, let's say, the next couple of years.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
There's no instant gratification in what I'm doing or my business method, Bert, but I can only tell you that I've done this for my entire life, and the success that I have been able to achieve has come from the fact that I create an environment, and number one, because I do answer the telephone, number two, because I do take the time to talk to people, and more importantly, number three, which probably is number one, I listen. And
yeah.
I create a relationship with my people that at the end of the day, they have a really good feeling about saying to somebody, call Mike. And that's what it's about.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Mike Reynolds, I want to thank you so much for stopping by and sharing some time. Loved about learning about not only what you're doing, but some of your thoughts on business and success, the whole greed, greed governance there, the greed formula is rampant. And I think, especially when times are good, we really ramp up that greed thing. So I want to thank you for stopping by and looking forward to getting to know you better.
Great. Well, thank you for your time, Bert, and I appreciate you doing it.
You bet. Good stuff there from Mike Reynolds. And, a couple of takeaways from Mike is again, back to those numbers, business is numbers. You got to have your numbers right, number one. Number two, that whole greed thing. Everybody sometimes gets bitten by the greed bug. And that's why your numbers are so important. Somebody says, hey, my business is worth $10 million. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Let the numbers decide. And if your business is worth $10 million, great. But if your $10 million business is only worth $7 million, then you have to be okay with that. You have to be humble enough. You have to make the decision that either now is not the time to sell. I want to wait till I can ramp up my business. And I can tell you about selling your business from a personal story. My brother, who had a business, I think his business was doing like $5 or $6 million a year, and he had a nice offer to sell it. And he came to me he says, "Man, I'm thinking about selling my business because they're offering me X amount of dollars, and it's the most money. It was a couple of million bucks or whatever it was, maybe a million and a half. And so, it was the most money that either him or I had ever seen." In one, right? And this is many years ago. And he was really tempted to take it. And I said, well, okay, if you take this money, what are you going to do with your life after that? Are you going to build another business? Are you going to go on some safari or some mission? Or what is your next move? And he says, I don't know. If I take this money, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. I said, well, then don't take the money because, you have to have an exit strategy that includes I'm going to sell my business and then I'm going to go do this. And if you don't know what you're going to do next, my advice to you, my friend, is do not sell your business until you know why you're going to sell your business. You have to have a why. Reason always comes first. How comes second? As always, my friends, please let's share this episode with everybody we know. Let's help as many people get ready to sell their business and get the most money for their business. Remember, my friends, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch and check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.